This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. As we approach Election Day, the nation is focused on a presidential race that features perhaps the highest stakes in the nation's history. Some, including former President Barack Obama, feel the future of democracy itself is on the ballot. But here in Jefferson County, we were lucky to have only one local contest of a much milder nature. That for the District 2 seat on the Board of County Commissioners between a pair of candidates who mostly seem to share a common perspective of community concern. This week on The Compass, we present excerpts from interviews with Board of Commissioner candidates Lorna Smith and Heidi Eisenhower, conducted by KPTZ reporter Lily Haight in early September. The two candidates were asked basically the same set of questions in separate interviews, but for the sake of brevity, the two interviews here have been cut together. So now, let's go inside the Compass.
Yeah, so, I mean, as we are moving into, I think this is our sixth or seventh month in the COVID-19 pandemic, what are some of the ways that you've been brainstorming to support, you know, the members of our community who might have been really impacted by this, either by losing their jobs or not doing as well with their businesses because they had to close down? You know, if you were to become commissioner, how would you support those people?
Lorna Smith.
One of my very first priorities taking office is going to be to rally all of the resources possible to assist our community. We've got people that have been laid off. We've got businesses that have closed their doors. I feel for the parents who are trying to deal with their kids at home and homeschooling and all of these things that have affected their lives so deeply. People have been are unemployed, they've been furloughed. So I want to ensure that we position ourselves as well as we can to be competitive for whatever assistance is out there available at the federal level, at the state level. And I think one way we do that is to collaboratively work together. So that's going to be our Board of County Commissioners, the Port Townsend City Council, possibly the Port, the EDC, the Chamber. All of us have to put our heads together, and the nonprofits as well, to figure out how do we survive this, how do we get through and bring home as much help as we possibly can.
And here's Heidi Eisenhower.
Well, the first thing I would say is I'm extremely thankful for my job and my team at the Maritime Center. When we hit the pandemic, we had 40 employees, and we immediately had to ratchet back to a much smaller team. And it was incredibly hard, as anybody who's listening can imagine. Everything changed for 4 or 5 months. I mean, and then we kind of re-entered a steady state, which we've been in for about 6 weeks as a team. And it's just been a really good illustration of the impact of the pandemic on people. Mm-hmm. And I'm very close with all of those people. And it's been a good way for me to be engaged and to see how it's affecting people. So what I've learned through that process is that it's really important to rely on your soft skills to show support and empathy and resourcefulness and compassion for people. It's also really even more important to know where the resources are in the community. And I was completely impressed and inspired by the work of the Jefferson Community Foundation, who rallied together a team of community leaders to run a fund called the COVID-19 Emergency Fund. And they deployed almost $600,000 over the course of the last few months for organizations in our community who were dealing with people who couldn't pay for their housing, couldn't find food, couldn't find get their basic needs met. And I think that through that process of watching, I was going to their meetings every week and listening in on their grant-making process and hearing how they were making the decisions and who they were granting money to really inspired me and made me realize that there are so many resources in the community that people need to know about and that people don't know about, that it's really important to be, as a leader in the community, to know where those resources are and to connect people to them. So it's something I've done for most of my professional life, is building connections between people. And I think that it's something that I would do in my role as a county commissioner naturally, and I would probably focus on that and find connections outside of our community where we could bring resources from other places to bear on our community and take care of people for the long haul. I think that continuing to rally community support will be a critical role for anyone in a leadership position in our community, and I think that that's how I would focus.
I'm sure you've been watching the county commissioner meetings and seeing Tom Locke, our public health director, give an update every Monday since this started. I was curious to hear about how you would rate the county's response so far to this pandemic.
Lorna Smith.
I'm really proud of our county and the response we've had so far to the COVID crisis, and especially the work of our local health district and Dr. Tom Locke. I think we can be, you know, very proud and thankful that we have him there. Commissioner Kate Dean gets high marks for really going out there and seeking some of the COVID relief dollars. I think the county's done a lot of good things. They moved Director Patty Charnas from Community Development across the street to help with writing grants to help with the recovery effort. So we've done pretty well so far. But, you know, clearly we have a lot more to do. We're going to have to make sure that we continue to have enough support financially and otherwise for our healthcare services, for our schools. So those are some of the remaining concerns that and the Board of County Commissioners needs to be at the forefront of efforts to ensure those things happen.
Heidi Eisenhower.
Considering this pandemic came out of nowhere, I think the county is doing pretty good because they stepped up and they mobilized a response. I've been sitting in on most of the Board of County Commissioner meetings and the Board of Health meetings for the last 5 months. And I would say that I've witnessed our elected leaders and the management staff of the county being inquisitive and responsive regarding the response to the crisis we are in, both on the public health side and on the community impact side. So I think that my impression is that they're doing a good job. From the broader community, I've seen the county engaged a number of community partners through something that's called the Intergovernmental Collaborative Group, which is a collaboration between the county, the city, the port, and the PUD. So they engage the broader community through six task forces focused on human services, food system resiliency, broadband access, culture and events, economy and jobs, and children and families. And those groups are now tasked with coming up with specific proposals that can be incorporated into a broader plan that will ultimately be adopted by this collaborative group in December. So they're working kind of quickly, which is good because this is all happening real time for us. The actions that they're proposing are meant to be short-term, but the short-term actions are supposed to build momentum for the future. So I commend the strategic community engagement that they highlighted almost instantly as a priority in this process. I can't say something needs to be improved when it's just being created right now, but I'm hoping that there's a funding strategy for each action that they propose. And I hope that the outcomes that they work towards focus on improving the lives of residents and businesses in our county that are most impacted by the pandemic.
I'm kind of going to pivot on topics real quick here, but it does also have to do with funding. Housing, affordable housing is a really hot topic, and I'm sure you've had to talk about this at the many forums that you've done to potential voters. But how are ways that you are thinking we can create more affordable housing for people here in Jefferson County?
Lorna Smith.
First of all, there's things that we can affect and things that it's going to be difficult for us to affect. We're feeling that effect on housing prices and housing availability that is spilling over from King County and Snohomish County. So when I worked at Snohomish County, I was involved in driving a number of affordable housing projects and infrastructure projects through that permitting maze and across the finish line. So I know what it takes to do that, and I think I could be of assistance to community development and even our nonprofits as they're working to develop affordable housing approaches. Also at Snohomish County, we went through a process of regulatory reform where we took our unified development code and we went through it and simplified it, and we looked for inconsistencies and made it very predictable. And then we cross-trained staff, which is really important, so that no matter who that permit applicant is talking to across the table when they submit their application, they're getting the same instructions, they're getting the same timelines, and everyone knows that. So I really think that a lot of the frustrations of people trying to get permits is that they get told a different answer every time they come in. And it's understandable if, you know, if Joe's at his lunch hour and Bob's taken over and doesn't really do that all the time, you might not get the same answer. So cross-training is important. Then also, in addition to that, we need to look at our code and find out where the flexibility actually exists. For instance, right now, the county has a provision to allow accessory dwelling units, ADUs. And I think that we need to encourage that process more. In the county, you can live in one or the other. You can live in the main house or the accessory building, and then you can rent out the other one. If more people were doing that, obviously it would help with the affordable housing market considerably. One of the problems, of course, is the, you know, septic aspects of it. So, as you know, I've been serving for the last 7 years on the Planning Commission, and we just forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners for consideration to look at programs that would do just this very thing, that would encourage smaller houses on smaller footprints, tiny house villages, that kind of thing. When we amended the comp plan back in 2018, these were some of the policies we included in the comp plan. We wanted to see these things looked at. Let's get innovative about what we can do to make housing more affordable. And now we want to see some code provisions, some pilot projects that would actually implement those provisions in the comp plan. We have a very good, very forward-thinking, comprehensive plan. Code needs to catch up with it.
And here's Heidi Eisenhower.
Longer term, I think we need, I hate saying multi-pronged, but I'm going to say multi-pronged strategy, fueled by the work of all the homeless and housing advocates in our county. There are tons of people looking at this issue, and they're all smart and wonderful and doing really good work, and I think that they need to be supported. And we need to look at the problem both from the outside resources, outside the county, and also mobilizing resources that we have within the Jefferson County kind of government to build a more robust pool of support for housing. It's not going to be a short-term quick fix for the long-term problem, but I think we need to think about a long-term solution. I'm going to get into the weeds a little bit here, but this is probably my longest set of comments for you. There was some legislation passed in the spring, House Bill 1590 at the state legislature, that allows local jurisdictions like counties to create a funding stream by increasing sales tax by 0.1% for affordable housing. This move would create about $600,000 annually, but it would provide a way to leverage other sources of funding that the county currently has, and also provide a way to leverage funding, as we just were talking about, from state and federal sources to match local funding. There has been a little bit of back and forth about this solution at the Affordable Housing Task Force of the county, but I would say that I would support mobilizing this 0.1% increase to our sales tax to deal with affordable housing and homelessness in our county, hands down. And that might be a somewhat controversial thing for me to be saying, but I would support it. And another somewhat harder nut to crack is creating the regulatory framework to allow for tiny house communities, which you hear people talking about a lot. And
yeah,
I've always had this fantasy of living in a tiny house because I live in my grandmother's 1,700 square foot house that was built in Hadlock in 1889, I believe. And sometimes I'm like, I just want to live in a small house, well insulated with, you know, but
yeah.
So I have a tiny house fantasy of my own, but I think that they would be a great solution. And other communities have been building the regulatory framework and then building tiny house communities. And sometimes I'm wondering, like, why can't we just do that here? So I know there's a way we can do it here. And that would be one of my priorities, is to help build that regulatory framework and figure out what we needed to change to make it possible for tiny house communities to be developed. There are, you know, there are like RV parks around the county,
yeah,
that where there's infrastructure there. And if we could redevelop some RV parks, for example, into tiny house communities, that seems like it would be a viable option. But an obstacle to that is often waste management.
Yes.
So I know I'm not going to talk a lot about the sewer, but it would be a way to kind of pave the way for there to be a renovation of RV parks into tiny house and tiny house villages. And I think that would be a good outcome of a sewer in Port Hadlock or denser development in Port Townsend, which does have a sewer.
The conversation of law enforcement has been really a hot topic in the news, specifically with racial profiling and police brutality. Here, we have seen several Black Lives Matter protests. We have also seen Blue Lives Matter protests. And we've seen some stuff come out at KPTZ. We had this event called Reckoning. I don't know if you had the chance. Yeah, you'd listen to it. And, you know, some people in our community who are Black, Indigenous, or other people of color spoke about their experiences with our sheriff's deputies here. And for white people, it might have been a little surprising to know that they had those experiences. So I was curious about your opinion on law enforcement and rethinking what public safety is, what the police do. And I was wondering if you agree with these national calls to defund police departments.
Here's Lorna Smith.
This is a big conversation, and I want to start it out by saying I come from a very large and racially diverse family, so I'm very sensitive to these issues, and we do have a national crisis of inequality. I don't think any of us can doubt or deny that, and so we have to start by acknowledging that. We all have collective responsibility for systemic racism throughout our government, throughout our lives. So this has starkly manifested, not just recently, but has come to the forefront recently in the deaths of so many Black people, people of color, at the hands of police. And so we've seen these protests sweep across the country. And the news was reporting today that 98% of these protests that have now been going on for months have been peaceful protests. So this idea that there's people, you know, burning down cities and out to get the police and all really isn't happening like the, you know, some of the media is reporting it. Our own Sheriff Joe Noel, in conversations with me, has admitted that we need reform and we need better training among our police and sheriff staff. So it's really important that we remove every trace of racism in our law enforcement. And that's not going to be easy. It's going to require training, retraining, enforcement of it at all levels. And I sense that Sheriff Noel knows that and is with us on seeing it through. He may not know what all the tools are to make it happen, but I'm really pleased to see that he's at the table. He's taking part in these conversations. He's owning up that there's shared responsibility, and he's willing to, you know, step up and look at it. The city of Port Townsend has a position called Navigator that when there's a call that comes into 911, that position helps the first responders decide who goes there, what response is needed, because it doesn't really help someone who's in the middle of a mental health crisis to get hauled off to jail, spend the night there. We even had an incident in my own extended family where someone was in the middle of a mental health crisis. Police were called in. This individual ended up spending the night in jail and was so distraught that he actually broke his hand hitting it against the wall trying to get out. I mean, and then believe me, the problem was much worse after he got out of there. So I have somewhat firsthand knowledge of putting a person in a mental health crisis in jail is not the answer. And again, Sheriff Joel Noel agrees with that. And we need to, if we don't have a Navigator per se, we need that function filled somehow. Who is the right person to respond? How do we get them to the social services that they actually need that can help this person in their time of crisis? So when we talk about defunding the police, I don't believe we need to unfund the police as much as we need to look at where do we need to put our resources to respond to community crises in these situations, because that's how we're going to get to answers. Acknowledging that we're all human, that yes, there is such a thing as systemic racism. We've all been part of it, and we all need to be part of abolishing it, banishing it, and it won't happen overnight. But boy, that first step is acknowledging that it exists.
And here's Heidi Eisenhower.
So the first thing I would say, and I've been saying over and over again, is I think we should ask members of our BIPOC community in Jefferson County what they would like to see us do, and make sure that they're heard in this conversation. And I think reckoning was a good start to that, but I don't think it's the end. We all have a role to play in this conversation, and I think it's incumbent upon each of us to look inside ourselves and figure out what we can do to further the conversation and to be open to everyone in our community. I don't agree with the national calls to defund the police as a defund the police movement. I just held up air quotes.
Yeah.
I realize I'm doing that, and you can see it.
You can't see it on radio.
You can see it on the radio. I know that our sheriff, Joe Knoll, is working on measures to ensure fairness and accountability, and that they are fundamental to the work of our sheriff's office, or they should be. And I know he's working on implicit bias training right now and getting that funded for his department, and pursuing the use of body cameras for his team. He said he was throwing around budget numbers on the reckoning event. So I think that he's really thinking about it. And I think there are other creative solutions that could help kind of de-escalate the community's policing and provide more compassionate response to issues that arise when they arise, when 911 is called, who shows up?
We're living in such divisive times right now. You know, a couple weeks ago, we saw a Blue Lives Matter rally downtown Port Townsend, which I think a lot of people were surprised to see. As a commissioner, how would you go about mending these community divisions that we have? You know, sometimes we don't agree with our neighbors, and that can cause huge problems in getting the important things done. How would you go about that?
Here's Lorna Smith.
Well, I think these community discussions that KPTZ is taking part in, that Commissioner Dean is certainly pushing to happen, we have to continue those. We almost can't get together and talk about it too much at this point. We need to listen to each other's perspectives. And the Board of County Commissioners needs to be at the forefront of advocating for this to happen, for the community healing to happen. They need to walk the talk. And I, for one, am committed to do that. I've taken part in the Port Townsend Black Lives Matter protests personally, and will continue to do that. I feel strongly that, you know, getting elected to the Board of County Commissioners doesn't mean you take off your hat of community activist. And I've been a community activist my entire life. And this is an issue I feel very strongly about. Not that one side's right or the other side's wrong, but that we need to bring people together and have this healing happen. I've lived in other cultures. I lived in Costa Rica for 4 years. I'm a Spanish speaker. My husband and I sponsor an asylum applicant. And living in a foreign country, being, as, if you will, the minority, speaking another language, taught me a lot about a much bigger worldview. And I think that's important. It has shaped my view of people in the world. So...
And here's Heidi Eisenhower.
I think at the core, to create community, we need to create opportunities to talk with each other and to listen to each other. And we really need to get to know each other. And one thing is, I've lived in District 2 for 40 years, and I went to school in Chimicum, and I feel a kinship with my neighbors out there that is really important to me. And I feel like it's one of the things that's motivating me to run for this office. It is a different community, but it's also a community. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of reading in this time. And I read something the other day about a man named DeRay McKesson. He's a prominent Black Lives Matter activist from St. Louis, Missouri. And he said, protest opens space for the solution. Protest is not the solution. So his comments kind of sparked me thinking, well, I want to be part of supporting whatever happens in that solution space. I want to be part of those conversations. And I'll keep marching. I've been marching and listening, but I want to help facilitate or do whatever I can do that I'm asked to do to develop solutions in the space that we're creating through all this protest, because that's what I see happening. And I see conversations happening. Reckoning, I felt like, was part of in response to that energy that our community was feeling. We needed to come together and start talking. And I think it's just the beginning, but I hope it continues. I know that I just got off the phone with Joel Noel because I said, I'm going to say something on the radio, and I haven't even checked with you if you think it's a good idea. And I've been reading a lot about community-based crisis programs, and I think you probably know that our city hired a navigator, mm-hmm. and his purpose is to help kind of de-escalate and provide access to other resources in the community for people who are in need. Because I've read in a number of places that only 1% of the calls that the teams that are doing crisis response are responding to actually require police assistance. 1%. So 99% of the calls of this group in Eugene, Oregon, is really the example I'm quoting, are things that they can deal with. And wow. It's crisis intervention, right? It's just people who need some kind of support. It's not a violent moment. So I think we're making improvements in our community through things like having a navigator. And I keep saying out loud everywhere, I think that the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office should have a navigator, or they should, you know, partner with the city and develop a navigator program that covers the whole county. And so I called Joe Noel and I said, are you open to it? And he's totally open to it. And he thinks it's a great idea. He's like, I don't know how exactly that would happen and where the funding would come from and what we'd have to move around. But, you know, there are ideas out there and people are open to them. And I think we just need to figure out how to mobilize them.
Yeah.
But I want to help facilitate or do whatever I can do that I'm asked to do to develop solutions in the space that we're creating through all this protest, because that's what I see happening. And I see conversations happening. Reckoning, I felt like, was part of in response to that energy that our community was feeling. We needed to come together and start talking. And I think it's just the beginning, but I hope it continues.
Well, thank you so much. It's been great chatting with you today. And thanks for answering all of my questions. I know some of them weren't all easy.
This week's Compass was edited by Steve Evans from interviews conducted in early September by KPTZ's Lily Haight with Jefferson County Board of County Commissioner District 2 candidates Lorna Smith and Heidi Eisenhower. The Compass airs Saturdays at noon and repeats on Mondays at noon and 5 p.m. You can listen to podcasts of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream KPTZ live 24 hours a day. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, I'm Steve Evans.